I'd like you to turn to Deuteronomy, the 21st chapter. Starting verse number 15. It says, if a man have two wives, one beloved and another hated. Now this is Old Testament. My wife spent hours today painting our wrought iron railing. She's so cute in her paint clothes. This is my wife in whom I am well pleased. One. Thank you, Jesus. If a man have two wives, one beloved and another hated, and they have borne him children, both the beloved and the hated, and if the firstborn son be hers that was hated, then it shall be, when he maketh his son to inherit that which he hath, that he may not make the son of the beloved firstborn before the son of the hated, which is indeed the firstborn. So you know what I'm saying? Got two wives. One he loves, the other one he hates. That's a pretty strong word, hate. But if the one he loves doesn't have the firstborn, but the one he hated had the firstborn, he can't simply say, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give the inheritance to the son of the one that I love, because that's not the law. But he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he hath, for he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. And then I'd like you to turn to Romans, the 9th chapter. Romans chapter 9. Verse number 11. It says, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. So when we're born, we've done no evil, no good, but we make the decision. We make the decision whether or not we're going to get an inheritance of God. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. We talked about that a few weeks ago. The elder is the flesh, the younger is the spirit. When we are born of the spirit, that's the younger. But you know what? The younger has to rule over the elder. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word of God this evening, Lord, that it would go forth, not only give us knowledge, but wisdom in order to use the knowledge we have a greater understanding of your care for each and every one of us. It's all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Every one of us will fight for our birthright, that we would receive the inheritance. On the day of Pentecost, thousands of people were filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name, and every one of those people were Jews, every one. They came from different areas, but they were all Jews. And they believed, the apostles believed, that salvation was only for the Jews, or, if you will, the firstborn of God, the apple of God's eye. He designed that the Jews were going to be his people exclusively in this world. But then we get to Acts, the 10th chapter, and we find there's this man by the name of Cornelius. We've read this many times. A man who was devout, one that feared God with all of his house, with gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He had a desire for the inheritance that perhaps the Jews didn't even have. And now God is saying, all right, I know that salvation is for the firstborn, but here's somebody who so desperately wants salvation. And Peter's confused, but then we get to Acts 10 and 34. It says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Whether you're the firstborn or the lastborn, whether you've been educated or uneducated, it doesn't matter what color your skin is, it doesn't matter where your heritage is, God is not a respecter of a certain kind of people. There's no privileged people who come into the kingdom of God. Well, I'm a part of a minority. No, no, you're a part of God's family. Nobody's lesser or greater. So we have to fight for our birthright. Romans 9 and 13 says, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. The word hated there is to detest. And nowhere in the scripture does God refer to hating anyone other than this place. There are some people who feel that God loves everybody, regardless of what they do, what the conditions are, or their attitude towards God. Well, that's not true. Just live any way you want, and God will still love you. Wrong, it's not the way it is. The Bible says if you know to do good and you don't, it's sin. And we can't get close to God with sin. If our life lives up to the scriptures, you'll find that there's easy access to God. But if not, you're going to find yourself moving back further and further on the pew until finally you leave the church. Because God isn't going to change his mind. We have to change our mind. According to the scriptures, God hated Esau. Why? Because he traded the things of God for the pleasures of this world. He thought he could have the best of both worlds. Please don't make the mistake that God will tolerate that kind of thinking. I'll have a little bit of God and I'll have a little bit of this. And well, if later on in life I want more of God, I can always get more of God. No, no, that isn't your decision, you see. We can't put God on a shelf and take him down when we really need him because there's a really difficult situation in our life. And there is a price to pay for the relationship that we have. The Bible says that we have to love him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we can't love anything else more than we love God. God hated Esau because he didn't value his birthright. And we can get to the place where this thing about being baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost isn't just so important to us. And Jesus said in Revelations, I have somewhat against you. You've lost your first love. I believe God has a better regard for the sinner who doesn't know God than someone who has come to the knowledge of truth and sold out to this world of the flesh. I really do. You know, because they had not a love for the truth, the Bible says that God will send them a strong delusion to believe a lie. Now, I get delusions all the time from this world, from the enemy of my soul, even from this flesh that I have to control. But if God sends you a delusion because you don't have a love, commitment to the truth, now I'm in trouble. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Peter, the second chapter. Second Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. Start in verse 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter is worse with them than the beginning. I know where to find people who backslide. They go right back to where God found them. If it's on a bar stool, that's where they'll be. Immorality, that's where they'll be. If it's all about money, I've got to have more money. I have to spend, you know, 7:24 making money. That's where you'll find them. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog has turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. I can't imagine anything more disgusting than that. And yet God is saying that that's the picture I get when people have truth and say, well, I don't need it anymore. Now, I can understand why God hated Esau. But what I can understand is, why did God love Jacob? He was a cheater, deceiver, conniver, a manipulator, a supplanter. And such were some of you. Such were some of all of us. Yet God loved this man dearly. This is a greater mystery than God's hating Esau, because he loved somebody who wasn't perfect. Here is a guy who tricked his older brother out of his birthright, took advantage of his weakness and his condition, got him to trade the most valuable thing that he had for a bowl of soup. The Messiah was to come through the seed of a deceiver. We sing, "You can use anything, Lord, you can use me." And that is the truth, every one of us. Next, Jacob stole his father's blessing from Esau, and in doing this, he also deceived his own father. All kinds of scriptures that are violated. Glory to God. Take your Bibles to Genesis 27. This is Bible study night. Genesis 27 and verse 35. And he said, "Thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing." He's talking to Esau. And he said, "Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing." And he said, "Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me?" And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, "Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son?" And Esau said unto his father, "Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac, his father, answered and said unto him, "Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of the heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck." And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning of my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob." It almost sounds like the very beginning, where Cain was so jealous of Abel because Abel wanted to serve God and Cain didn't. And basically it's the same thing, you know. Jacob wants to serve God, but Esau doesn't. And so, "I didn't get the blessing. I didn't feel anything in church last Sunday. What's the deal here?" Well, how badly do you want the birthright? How badly do you want the inheritance? Are you ready to go at it? So Jacob set off for Uncle Laban's home, and on the way, God gave him an incredible vision. Jacob saw a ladder extended up into heaven, and with angels coming up and down. All of these angels are on assignment, going back and forth to earth to minister to people, to protect, to guide, to guard and provide for them. You see, before we can live for God, we have to have some kind of vision of God, vision of heaven. We got to believe that God's going to do something for us rather than, well, you know, I'm just listening to the guy who's preaching the message, and, you know, if I live better than everybody else, perhaps I'll make it to heaven. And it's surprising how many people in this world have that attitude. Well, I'm better than most, and I'll just take my chances in the judgment. That first Pentecostal service gives us a vision of the spiritual world. We then have to develop a desire for more of God. You know, up until this time, there was no faith, goodness, or grace working in the life of Jacob. You want to ask, God, what do you see in this man that you would love him so greatly? Aren't you glad that God loved Jacob? Because if God loved Jacob, then he can love you. He can love me, you know? We didn't have a whole lot going for us when we walked into more light. We really didn't. Because of God loving Jacob, the deceiver, the cheater, the less than credible character, then we have an open door as well. But if we ever get to the place where we resist God like Cain did, resist God like Esau did, don't care. Just don't care about the things of God. Well, I've got a choice to be in church or a choice. Well, you make the choice, and it does make a difference. Ever feel like you failed God? I'm not looking. We all have at one time, and the relationship just can't be repaired because I've gone too far. Well, just about once a week. Well, if God loved Jacob before he got with the program and said in Genesis 28 and 15, "And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." If he said that to Jacob, before Jacob ever got to the place where he really became spiritual, he just had this overwhelming feeling inside, I got to have more of God. Then I feel confident that God is going to be with you and I, even in our failures. Now, here's the key to the blessing, even in the failures, to serve God. And we're all going to have those times. God saw something in Jacob's heart that caused God to want to bless him. Even when Jacob was in his mother's womb, Jacob grabbed Esau's heel as if to say, "No, the birthright is mine." How can two be at the mill, one taken and one left? Two be in the bed, one taken, one left. How is it? How is it that there's 10 virgins and 5 had oil and 5 didn't? And give me some of your oil because the bridegroom cometh. It's because one had a desire, a greater desire for God. What I'm saying tonight is we have to have a greater desire for God. If we want to have the birthright, if we want to have the inheritance. You can look back after the trumpet sounds and realize that all of the things that we went after, all of the effort that we put forth in order to make ourselves more comfortable here or have more friends or have more stuff, didn't matter one iota. It doesn't matter, folks. It's all about getting to heaven. And if you don't have a desire now, what about when things really get tough? And I believe they are. Glory to God. God told Rebekah before the two were even born that the elder shall serve the younger. Even the name Jacob means supplanter, one who trips up another by underhanded means to take his place through scheming. Now, God knew the nature and the thoughts behind Jacob's scheming, you know? So why did the Lord make a covenant with this man? Because Jacob had a quality that God could not resist. And if you possess this quality, even though you may fail from time to time, there's an assurance that you can be restored. I love the writings of David because he's such a sincere guy, and he realizes that he's not worth anything and God is worth everything. And even though he sinned, you look at Psalm 51 and he talks about God, restore to me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Help me through this, God, and I'll convert the sinner. I'll do your work, God. Glory to God. Isaiah 57 and 15 says, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Every one of us from time to time needs some revival of the spirit within us. I will dwell in the high and holy place with him. He takes us to a place where we're nourished in the Holy Ghost and feel the presence of God, and it causes us to be propelled into a greater depth of God than we could get by ourselves, but it has to be because I'm nothing, I'm nobody. God, I don't even understand why you love me. Jacob was dejected and on the run because he wanted more of God. And God was reviving and blessing him because he needed that reassurance, even though he was rejected by others that were around him, pulled out of a safety net, pulled out of an environment that was very comfortable for him. He didn't have to worry about whether or not everything was going to be taken care of for him. And that is exactly what happens to each and every one of us. God pulls us out of that comfortable place that we were and says, okay, come on, follow me. Not everybody's going to follow you as you follow me, but come on and follow me, and then I'm going to take care of you, and I'm going to bless you. And then people are going to see, wow, he or she is blessed because of God, because of what you're doing. You want to be comfortable, you'll never get saved. Would you turn to Matthew, the 10th chapter? I think this should be given on some kind of card to every person that comes into the church. Matthew 10, verse number 32, Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. There's a blessing there. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace but a sword, for I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. How can that be? Because you got to pay a price in order to live for God. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. So God's saying, you know what? There's going to be some rough waters for each and every one of us. We're going to have to put our head on a stone. And as Jacob woke up, he said, of a truth, God was here and I didn't know it. Let's call it Bethel or the house of God. It was the first place of the anointing of God. Looking for the anointing, it's in the house of God. Glory to God. Isaiah 66 and 2 says, to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word, or respects my word. Well, I want you to do, well, it doesn't line up with God's word. I'm sorry. See, it's our guy for everything. We see Jacob's covetousness, greed, and manipulation, but God saw beyond his flesh a broken spirit and a contrite heart and a desire that was within him, not that he was right, but a desire that I want more of God. If there was anything that we had when we first was exposed to Pentecost, it was a desire for more of God. God saw it in us and he sent people to us and brought us a circuitous route in order to be in a place where we could have full truth. You see, God can't do anything with an Esau type. Arrogant, proud, know-it-all, don't tell me anything, I'm not going to submit, I feel I'm already arrived. Those who aren't willing to be changed regarding the pleasures of life more than the will of God. Yet Jacob must have memorized all of the stories that he heard his father say. God made a covenant with Jacob's grandfather Abraham, and how the birthright of the Messiah would come through his brother Esau. And the more he heard the story, the more he wanted the birthright. Every week somebody stands from this pulpit and tells you more about the story. And the more you hear the story, the more you should have an appetite for the birthright. Let it be me. Let it be me, God. I want to be a part of that rapture. I want more of you, God. Not just enough to get by, but I want more. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there's somebody trying to get you to sell out all of the time. Come on, give me your birthright. Here, take this. Here, I'll give you a promotion. Here, I'll give you this. I'll give you that, you know. Well, she's cute, and I want to marry her, but no, I'll give it to you. That's what the devil said to Jesus. You know, take him up on a pinnacle and say, look at all of what we have here, and all you have to do is worship me, and it's yours, because that is mine to give. And he wasn't lying. Yet his brother just didn't care. Heard the same stories, but he didn't care. He had married two Canaanite wives, and Esau didn't regard the privilege of the blessing. Church wasn't important to him anymore. He was living on his brother's convictions, his father's convictions. And when we get to the place where we're just going with the flow of Pentecostals, and church isn't that important. If I get there, I get there. So Jacob went after what was not rightfully his. None of us are born with the birthright, but we must desire it and go after it. And not just at the beginning. Every good runner knows that at the very end of the race, you should be running faster than at the beginning. God doesn't covenant with everyone who just claims to be a believer. And that sounds judgmental to most of the Christian world. You're judgmental, you know. But you know what? He just doesn't say, here's the birthright, because, well, you'd like it. And then when it's already beginning, it's too late. And then the father says, I don't have a blessing for you. He won't bless or deliver people with little regard for holy things. God blesses the Jacob type, the one who knows he has inconsistency, he knows he has weaknesses, but he's willing to change with the help of God. Now, do you know what your problem is? I can't go one by one, but I don't know. I know what my problems are. And you know what your problems are. It's not a secret. You know where your weakness is. You know where you fall down. You know what to avoid. You know when to turn the screen off. And then God allows you to have a better understanding of yourself and ask him to help you in your inconsistencies and in your weaknesses, and you will be shocked how fast an angel comes down from heaven to help you in those areas if you made a commitment to the birthright. Glory to God. Amen. The word contrite means broken in spirit by sense of guilt with a willingness to change. And I thank God for guilty feelings. You know? Thank God for feelings altogether. Thank God for love feelings. Thank God for emotions. Thank God for hurt. You know? You tell the little child, don't touch the stove because it's really hot. He just doesn't believe. You know? What made him move? It was the pain. Thank God for the pain sometimes that causes us to change direction. And, you know? Thank God. Hallelujah. Stub your toe in the house, turn some lights on. Glory to God. You know what guilt lends itself to is conviction. Not condemnation, but conviction. When God wants us to change things, then all of a sudden we can't think of anything else except changing those areas. And it's all a wonderful stream to get us closer to God. Well, thank God, the life of Jacob, the deceiver, is in the Bible because through it, I understand that God loves me even in my faults and my failures, and that he has a special plan and a special blessing if I take the same approach. If I have a contrite heart and a broken spirit, when did Jacob experience the greatest power of God in his life? When he faced his greatest challenges. Glory to God. Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis, the 32nd chapter. Genesis chapter 32 and verse 24. You know the story. Laban, who he's worked for all of these years, changed his salary 10 times, and he just didn't seem to be getting ahead. And if we're looking to the Labans of this world, whether it's a corporation or a company, you're going to find that they're going to always let you down. So my theory is to go over their head and go straight to God and say, God, I need a blessing. Don't beg the boss for a blessing. Go over his head and ask God for the blessing, you see. Otherwise, your wages are going to be changed 10 times. You're going to be frustrated by the whole thing. Now you get angry at him, angry at a whole lot of other people, when you simply could have had the right to go to God and say, God bless me. Why? Because I'm doing everything that's in the book. You have to do it, you know? Father, I've come. I may have been deceitful. I may have been scheming. I may not have been consistent. But Father, here I am. Give me the blessing. And he does. And so now he's ready to come back home because he's got that blessing. And here comes his brother with 400 men to kill him. And so he recognizes again, the only way this thing is going to work, I'm going to send my family ahead and I'm going to get a hold of God. I mean, this song tonight was absolutely perfect, you know, because every one of us have been in that situation where we're all by ourselves crying out to God and saying, when are you going to take this thing away from me? Could you help me right now? Verse 24, and Jacob was left, what's that word? Alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he, God, saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Now here's an incredible thing. What Jacob is saying is, I'm not going to let you go. And so God didn't prevail, but Jacob actually prevailed because of his insistence in order to get the blessing one more time. He did the same thing with his father, and now he's doing the same thing with God. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Remember? Deceiver, supplanter. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. First time the word Israel is used in the Bible. For as a prince hath thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him, and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. You know, whenever you get to the place where you want to know who God really is, more than just Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, when you want to know the name of God, there's a blessing there. Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have, what? Seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. A theophany. I believe the same for the theophany that Adam and Eve walked with in the cool of the day. Same one that appeared unto Abraham and now wrestles with Jacob. And he is blessed. And of course, the next day, his brother just fell at his feet and said, you're right, you have the blessing. And too many times we fight our own battles when God wants to fight them for us. Too many times we get into a situation where we don't know what to do or how to handle it, just like the song. And God wants to know, how much do you love me? How determined are you? Are you willing to go as far as wrestle with me? Are you willing to let everything go just to get the birthright? When you demonstrate that to God, you watch and see. Are you broken? Do you have a contrite spirit? Then you can overcome anything because God will be with you. God will bless you. God will help you. And it's all because you have a desire to have more of God. I'm going to make it, folks. I'm going to make heaven my home. Everyone will live for eternity someplace. As the old saying is, smoking or non-smoking. You know? I'm going to glory. I'm going to be with the one who saved me. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? For the last couple of days, I've been in my head going over and over some of the revelation that I heard Sunday night about the angel that sat at the head of the tomb and the feet of the tomb like this, which was the exact replica of the Ark of the Covenant. Of Yeshua on the head of the cross because of the four languages that it was interpreted in. I mean, it's just awesome. The high priest rending his clothes, and as soon as he did that in front of Jesus, he was no longer a high priest, but it passed to Jesus. I don't know about you, but those things get me excited, and I want my birthright more. Hallelujah. Nothing in this world, nothing is worth trading it in for. Glory to God. You don't understand that God could come any moment based on some of the things that I'm seeing and, taking a chip in your right hand in order to be a part of the government giveaways. Oh, my God. Who would ever have thought? So, plan like he's not coming for a long time. Live like he's coming tonight. This could be our last altar call. Ready or not, he's coming. I just want to be ready, folks. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?